Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day. Thanks for kicking it off with us right here at WFHR. We hope you're having a great Wednesday out there. Happy hump day, everybody.
Yeah.
Got your host, James, here, joined by our man, Seth.
Good morning.
We're here to have some fun, get you ready for a great day ahead. I'm going to get in some entertainment news to kick things off. And in a little bit, got a couple of other things that we'll touch on, like one-hit wonders. It's one-hit wonder day.
Yeah.
We're going to approach this a little bit differently. Which one-hit wonder aligns with your zodiac sign? Got that coming up.
Oh.
It should be interesting. Which one-hit wonder aligns with your zodiac sign?
I'm fascinated.
And we have 10 reasons why AI may be overrated. We'll get into that.
Maybe overrated.
We're not sure. We'll discuss.
Okay.
And, of course, I want to hear from you throughout the day what your favorite one-hit wonders are, everybody. 715-424-2600. Call up. Let us know what are your favorite one-hit wonders.
Mm-hmm.
But right now, there have been beefs in music for a very long time. most recently, the rap beef between Kendrick Lamar and Drake has kind of put things on a whole different level.
Yeah.
Where now that Kendrick Lamar, usually you release the song, and that's the end of it. And maybe, you know, you have a follow-up song or something mm-hmm. like that. But it sticks to music. Kendrick has done, like, pop-up concerts where just for the, like, where he went to the L.A. Coliseum and did a show. Or no, the arena where the Lakers play.
Yeah.
And did a show where he did the one of the diss songs against Drake 5 times in a row. With the audience chanting every single time. There have been a couple of hits of the summer, this past summer, mm-hmm. but this has been one of the most consistent ones. Usually a hit of the summer when it comes out,
yep.
it's got a couple of weeks or a month or something like that. This came out at the beginning, and all, to this moment right now, it is still in Billboard's top 10.
Stayed in the, wow, that's remarkable.
There are people around the world talking about this and singing along to it. And if that wasn't enough, now he's the Super Bowl halftime. Time act.
Guess what he's going to do there.
And you know he's going to do it there. I mean, it's on a whole different level. We've in the rock game, you've heard, is it the most famous one, Neil Young and Lynyrd Skynyrd? Is that the most famous?
Yeah, I mean, yeah. There's some debate whether how, because they knew each other.
Yeah.
How about how serious it was? It was kind of poking each other. Yeah.
It seemed like it was very tongue-in-cheek now, but at the time when we didn't know, mm-hmm. A lot of people thought that was an actual beef.
Right, right.
And now add to that, Peter Frampton and Megadeth.
Because they're so relevant to the music scene today.
Yeah, who had that on their bingo card?
Dave Mustaine, really? Oh, my God.
Yeah, Dave Mustaine and Peter Frampton are feuding, apparently.
Oh, good grief.
Peter recently had to cancel a show in Richmond, Virginia, and he blamed Megadeth. He said that a few days earlier, Megadeth did a sound check that caused structural damage to the venue. Which you would almost think Peter Frampton's working as PR for Megadeth, because if you, Megadeth, that's the kind of music they play. That's probably a good thing for them. Like that, we play so heavy, we
destroy buildings.
Yeah. When they heard that, Megadeth put out a statement saying that they never even got to do a sound check because their lighting rigger noticed pre-existing damage to the venue's grid. They determined that hanging their lights on it could have caused it to crash, injuring the band, its crew, or the audience.
Wow.
So they pulled the plug, as Frampton was forced to do a few days later.
Okay.
Man, it's got to suck to be this venue.
What's going on if you're booking Megadeth and you can't hang their light? Wait. Something wrong with the venue here. Yeah. They need to look into their architecture there.
The statement ended with the quote from Mustaine himself. It seems Frampton was misinformed about our show being canceled. The decision was purely based on safety. It's disappointing when someone you admire talks out their, you know,
right.
Frampton issued a statement and his own apologizing and saying it was just a joke. There's no word yet if the wounds have healed. But I think the only true way for these wounds to heal is for Megadeth to do a cover of one of Peter's songs. And then Peter to do a cover of one of Megadeth's songs.
That would be that's the way to say you're sorry.
And how you do it in happy. Beef. Everybody, right. Everything works out.
In terms of beefs, that compared to the other, you know, the Lamar thing, this is really tame.
It's really tame.
This is really tame.
Well, and I'm all here for aging rockers beefing. I want more of that, because you have this great combination of ego and a lot of that, while also like what we were talking about earlier. You
right.
get older and things don't ruffle your feathers as much. So their feathers are ruffled, but not enough to like really get out of bed.
Okay,
not enough to actually do something about it.
I'm a little fuzzy on my hard rock history, my heavy metal history here. Dave Mustaine was in what group before he got
Metallica.
Kicked out? It was Metallica.
Yeah, he was in Metallica.
Okay,
before,
and he's still bitter.
Oh yeah.
He formed Megadeth. You know, they've had a good career. Nothing to sneeze at. You know, they have their fans and everything, but they never got to the heights of like Metallica.
No, not even close.
And they probably wouldn't have if Dave Mustaine was still with them.
No, probably not.
Probably not.
Dave Mustaine a little overrated. A little bit. Got more hits than I got.
But that's true.
Just a little bit. Now Peter Frampton. Wow.
No, I think Peter Frampton. Well, he came alive for us in the '70s. He certainly did.
Well, and he also had the benefit of every family when you moved into a new suburban home, you got a copy of
in the
'70s.
It was
alive.
True.
Yes,
yeah.
Every family got one of those.
Yeah, here's your Monopoly game, and here's your Frampton Comes Alive.
Yes,
right there,
with a cardboard table. Nobody knows how they got. Nobody's ever bought a
card tables.
Table.
No.
They just showed up and you had one.
Yep.
It was just every home.
What's that in the corner? Oh, it's a folded up card table.
Look at that.
Where'd that come from?
Came with the house. Lady Gaga announced yesterday she is releasing a companion album to the Joker 2 movie.
Oh.
It's called Harley Quinn, and it comes out this Friday. It'll have 13 tracks with titles like Smile and the Joker and That's Life, their version of the Sinatra classic, I imagine.
Oh, interesting.
It's unclear if any of the songs are covers, originals, or a mix of both, but it mm-hmm. does look like that. I mean,
yep.
That's Life, I imagine.
Is a cover, yeah. So the other ones, yeah, anyway.
Well, and especially the movies themselves tend to take like ballads or classic songs and put a darker spin on them.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm guessing that's
yep.
what she did. Gaga previously said that she taught herself how to sing poorly as Harley Quinn.
Right.
It's probably safe to say that the songs are not done that way on the album.
I would think not.
It's also worth mentioning that Harley Quinn is not her anticipated seventh album. Earlier this month, she said that the first single from LG7 comes out sometime in October. So this is just another album.
Wow.
She's been working a lot.
Busy lady. Speaking of pop stars that are acting.
Yeah.
Wow.
She's proven herself as a strong actor.
Mm-hmm.
A very strong actor. I was very surprised by that.
Fascinating choices that she's gone into in acting. Not what you consider for like a non, you know, experienced actor, right?
She kind of seemed to kind of... She needed a break from music after Tony Bennett. That hit her really hard.
When he passed, yeah. Mm-hmm.
She and him became really close. And all of that started with her, by the way. Her reaching out, telling her, hey, I my family, we grew up on your music. I loved your music. And Tony and her building a friendship and being like, hey, what if we did a song? They were just going to do a song together. And it led to, of course, them
two
doing
albums they did together. Wow.
And Tony Bennett getting a whole... like fifth act of his life because of this
in
a whole
90s.
Young generation.
I mean, it's amazing.
Right now, the younger generations are more familiar with Tony Bennett than Frank Sinatra, Dean Martin, Jerry Lewis, any of those guys by far and away.
Makes me happy.
It's really in me some ways too. Just
yeah.
because growing up, Tony Bennett was the guy that my family grew up on
mm-hmm.
more than Dino or any of those guys.
Yep.
And part of it was because he wasn't as popular as some of the other acts.
Mm-hmm.
It's very fitting, and
yep.
It's kind of cool to see her getting back into the music game here and everything, because
yeah,
she is one of the biggest stars and the biggest artists in the world.
We know that music people have creative droughts, you know,
yeah.
from time to time. It looks like from the break she's taking, you know, some of the other things she's done, looks like she's been re-energized in her songwriting, which, I mean, that's pretty cool. She's very talented.
Maybe not a household name, but one of those faces you know when you see it. Reginald Bell Johnson, from Family Matters to Dead on Family Matters.
Mm-hmm.
I think Die Hard, you might remember him from that and everything. I loved him in Die Hard. He was perfect in that
movie. He has a very small role in Ghostbusters, too.
That's right.
As the jailer. Yeah.
That's right. Yeah, yeah. Just a great character actor.
Yeah,
all
around.
And actor
yep.
and everything. He is currently on Dancing with the Stars, and last night, he paid tribute to one of his co-stars, Bruce Willis. Bruce and him actually were friends over the years.
So interesting.
During this, during one of the scene, the first scene that they were going to film together, for those that don't know, these scenes usually take about 20 to 45 minutes to set up. And they do this in part because if they have to go back and redo the scene, they need everything exactly as it is so that they can go back and edit in the scene perfectly without
having continuity errors. Yeah.
And this has happened your whole life in entertainment.
And even when they do that, there's times when you notice that things aren't exactly the same. But yeah, they try to keep it.
Oftentimes, actors have to stay on point and stay in a scene to be able to do that. And I think it was Die Hard 2 that this happened in more so. But in Die Hard, the first Die Hard, they're having to sit there basically and wait for this scene to get set up. So they, you know, actors talk and they got to know each other and became pretty good friends and remain friends to this day. And so Reginald doing a tribute to Bruce Willis, this is not just somebody that he acted with once. It's a guy who he considers a friend and Bruce considers a friend. So he did a tribute to Bruce Willis on Dancing with the Stars last night. He and his partner danced to the Paso Doble Beethoven's Ode to Joy, which was also used in the movie, and his squad car and was parked right out on the dance floor. So that was kind of cool too. He ended the dance with Bruce's famous line, "Welcome to the party, pal." Val Johnson said, quote, "It was my first big film that I was in. It was an experience I'll never forget. Willis was very kind to me in my very first role. We became friends, and I thanked him for that, and I always will."
Aw.
That was kind of cool.
Nice tribute. How about that? By the way, he always played a cop.
Yeah.
Even on Family Matters, he was a cop. Matters,
that's right. Wow. Yeah, I forgot about that. Yeah.
Hey. I'm not gonna. If I were in that role, I would say, "Let me be a cop all the time, man. Let me be G.W. Bailey."
I'm in the middle of looking into new representation and getting a new agent. And when you do this, you kind of have to. It's a little bit like meeting somebody for the first time, and you have to. You feel like you have to give them your whole life story.
All right.
And you're tired of telling your life story because you've told it a million times at this point in your life. I'm doing all of this, and we're going through my resume and my acting resume. And he says to me. Real quick, wow, you've played a cop a lot. That's weird. You know my backstory, man.
I was gonna say
it's kind of weird
after hearing that.
Just people have cast me in that role a lot. I don't know why.
Fascinating.
Our good friends over at Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater are getting ready to kick off their 50th season. They're just a day away. Tomorrow is the day.
Opening night tomorrow, everybody.
So excited for the premiere of Drinking Habits. They have an amazing cast. They got a lot of fun, and they are raring to go. We had them in Monday. We had them in. A great interview with the gang, and you could see it in their eyes, everybody. They want to perform right now, right this second they want to go. You know what that's like, Seth.
You want an audience.
Yep. Let's give them a good show. Let's give them a good audience, everybody. Join us for Drinking Habits as we kick off the 50th season of Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater. They're going to have shows for you lined up Thursday and Friday at 7 o'clock. And then Saturday, they'll have a 2 o'clock matinee.
Yep, that's right.
And it'll be the same schedule next week.
That is correct.
This is going to be the new schedule.
They're trying out something new this year, which is really cool. So, yeah.
I love the two matinees.
Yeah,
I love the two matinees.
It's not only good for, I think, for the audiences as well. I think this is going to be good for them, but for the actors as well, too. It's nice to have that, you know, afternoon and Saturday, and then you can have the rest of the day off. That's really nice when you can get it.
And keep in mind, got a lot of great things going on in the month of October. The auditions for White Christmas will be October 7th and 8th. Be a part of a wonderful holiday production. And
musical.
Yeah, that's right.
Musical, everybody.
So, this is, and I'm going to be honest with everybody, this is ambitious.
It is.
This is ambitious for our theater, which means we need all comers, all talkers, all people. We need
all singers. Yes. We need some singers, everybody.
October 7th and 8th, auditions will be at the WRC Auditorium, and you can find your tickets for Drinking Habits at wrctheater.org, wrctheater.org.
All right.
Take a time out, come back, and we're going to have some fun on The Morning Show at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Morning Show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Seth and James hanging out with you, getting our dance moves in.
Yeah, that's right.
Getting some exercise
classic
in.
Four Tops dance moves.
You can hear the Four Tops and not dance a little bit.
That's right.
We're sticking with music a little bit and some more entertainment news for you, because back in August, the state of Arkansas announced that they were adding a statue of Johnny Cash to the National Statuary Collection in the U.S. Capitol.
Hey, cool.
And yesterday, the Man in Black statue was revealed. This makes him the first musician to ever receive a statue at the Capitol.
Wow.
Johnny Cash, the first musician to have a statue at the Capitol.
Boy, you couldn't have a more American, right, to be that.
The statue says Johnny Cash, 1932 to 2003, singer, songwriter, artist, humanitarian.
Mm-hmm.
Johnny's daughter, Roseanne Cash, was there for the ceremony, and she said, quote, "I'm very careful not to put words in his mouth since his passing, but on this day, I can safely say, of all the many honors and accolades he received in his lifetime, this is the ultimate."
Aw, that's really cool.
And God, what I wouldn't give to have him around to hear what he would have to say about this. I would give anything to be able to hear what Johnny Cash would.
Fascinating.
All the musicians in history, all of them, everyone, Beethoven on to Lady Gaga, every single one of them, one of the most surprising names I could tell you of a person who was the first musician to get a statue at the Capitol.
Mm-hmm.
This is in the top five. Johnny Cash would be in the top five.
Yep. Like,
if you know anything about Mr. Cash, if you know anything about his legacy, his career, the outlaw that he was, it's not only a surprising, but incredibly fitting.
Mm-hmm.
Incredibly fitting.
Yep.
And if he had never gotten any honor in his life but this one, it'd have been right. We'd have done it right. We'd have done right by the man. This couldn't be more fitting. I think it couldn't be cooler.
You know, I can't think of – there's so few artists that transcend whatever they're involved in. So we think of Johnny Cash as a country singer mainly, and that's the genre he would say he was in. But he – there were no boundaries for him. He went all over the place. He sang with Bob Dylan. You know, he became friends with Bob Dylan. Mm-hmm. He did the later in life, the American Songbook.
Yep.
Those were not country songs. Specifically, he did not want to do country songs.
He covered Nine Inch Nails.
I know, exactly. And he did it in his own way. His, you know, you could call it country maybe because he had a twang in his voice, but he was just, he was a musician through and through, solid. He was American is what he was.
We focus a lot on Willie Nelson when it comes to this stuff, one of his partners in crime, actually.
Right.
When it comes to being a crossover artist or well-loved by everybody, no matter what kind of music you get into and everything. We forget that Johnny was this before
in
many ways, Willie Nelson.
Like, yes, he was.
The Johnny Cash Show was huge in that regard.
Yes.
And all the different genres that were turned on by different musicians because of that show. Having a Dylan on, having different people from different genres on.
Absolutely.
Those people heard Johnny Cash for the first time, and a lot of the country bands heard Bob Dylan for the first time, and vice versa with a lot of these artists.
Yep.
A true artist of supporting artists.
Mm-hmm.
Johnny Cash and his family were huge in that regard.
Yep.
And huge in regard when it came to supporting a positive America.
Mm-hmm.
An America that was accepting of all. Mm-hmm. Long before it was PC or any of those things, Johnny Cash was at the front of the line as far as having African Americans in his band and performing in Mississippi. Having women represented on stage.
Mm-hmm.
So many of these things that we champion now, Johnny Cash was doing long ago.
Mm-hmm.
You could not find maybe a more fitting artist to have a statue at the Capitol.
You want to know what Johnny Cash is all about? Listen to the song "The Man in Black." And he explains exactly where his thoughts and feelings are about all kinds of things. So, yep.
I heard that we're traveling to Wisconsin, and I hear that song on the radio. My papa's playing that. Changed my life.
Wow.
Changed my life, that song.
Wow.
Love that, man. Very fitting.
Very fitting. I like it.
So this is a story. This next story, as we're getting ready for our news break here and everything, there's not a ton of stories. You know, we like to find relatability in all stories nowadays, but it's not very often that we have one that hits so close to home around here. And in an odd way, too. But there's a reason why you might not want to name your kid Mickey Mouse.
Oh, geez.
And among bullying and all those other reasons and stuff, a 7-year-old boy in the UK was denied a passport recently, and his parents were told it was because his name relates to a trademark or copyright.
Oh.
His name is Loki Skywalker. Loki Skywalker Mowbray.
Okay.
And the quote-unquote Star Wars reference was intentional because he was born on May 4th. May the 4th be with you and all that.
Yeah, Star Wars Day, yeah.
Yeah. They were told they'd have to get permission from Disney or change the boy's name.
Oh, no.
The family wasn't so hot on either of those options, especially because they weren't trying to get anything out of the name. They just thought it was fun.
Mm-hmm.
The story picked up steam, and eventually the authorities emailed the family and said that a passport would be issued, but it had just been delayed.
Okay.
So the kid's going to end up getting one. Right. Thing, but copyright issues are a major thing, especially as IP becomes more and more in everybody's radar.
Mm-hmm.
It's the no matter what your business, no matter what you're talking about going forward, IP, everything is IP. Mm-hmm. And having that little C with the circle around it and that copyright on something. So this isn't the end you're going to see of this stuff.
Now, no.
I see this hits close to home because our newest team member, Laura, has a daughter named Padme.
Right.
And I thought right away, I'm like, well, God, we actually have somebody around here that actually could touch on this story.
Right, yeah, right.
For the audience that doesn't know, Padme is a name from Star Wars universe.
Right, yeah.
And everything. So talking with her a little bit about this, I thought this was interesting. and I'm just putting her on the spot now and everything and dragging her into the studio. But I did think, Laura, you could actually word this a lot better than I could. And I didn't remember exactly what you said earlier. So you mentioned this with your ex-husband. Bringing up the name with him because of your Padme.
Right. Because we do have a daughter named Padme, and so obviously I had a little concern about her ability to get a passport now. And he did make a very good point at the end of the email saying, the first test of this, I guess, will be her driver's license. But he did some research on it as soon as he saw it because, hey, that's what good parents will do in this situation. Mm. And his response was that it looks like the concern was that Skywalker is a trademarked name that's a bigger deal name rather than like the first names. Like, no one's going to get sued for naming their kid Luke Skywalker, right?
Yeah.
But if they named him Luke Skywalker Johnson, that might be harder.
Right,
you know?
Right.
I think that's what it is.
Yeah, I agree.
That's interesting. That's interesting. When it came to naming, did you guys have other Star Wars names you were thinking of using there that might have gotten you in trouble with them?
No, but I will say when I was pregnant with my oldest and married to him at the time, when I got pregnant, the understanding was very much that the child's name was either going to be Anakin or Padme, and it was up to them at that point.
I think all of those are better options than Jar Jar.
Definitely,
really good idea.
We
not
also
to go Jar
weren't.
Jar.
We were also strongly against the idea of like Jabba.
Yeah,
a big fan.
Jabba's a good one.
That one you might have trouble with too. Actually, yeah. I don't know.
Yeah,
Jabba might be copyrighted.
I think the copyright really comes in at the Hut.
Yes, it does. Yes.
Well, then you're getting in trouble with Star Wars and Pizza Hut.
You're right.
From both ends.
And shout out to Jane and Greg. Their preference, they call Elon recently Jabba the Musk.
Yeah, that's great. Oh, yes. I forgot about that.
I can't not bring it up. Hey, guys.
Thanks, Laura. Thank you, Laura. I appreciate it. Nicely done. So the IP part of this is interesting to me. We'll see. Probably a good idea with all the strange things that we're naming kids nowadays, probably a good idea to stay away from some of those more branded names.
So, like what Laura was saying, the obvious, but now it's funny because Skywalker is kind of a made up name,
right?
But yeah, other names that they use for Star Wars that George Lucas used, like Solo, that's an actual last name,
right?
There are people walking around, so you can't copyright that. So I guess just do your homework,
before
you name your kids.
and the child's first name is Loki.
Loki.
Which I guess is grandfathered in or something.
Well, Loki,
like that.
you can't copyright that because it's based on Norse mythology.
That's what I mean, though.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't mean the Disney show or anything. I mean like Norse mythology.
Yeah.
Like, so you can name your kid Zeus and all these
things,
I
Thor
guess.
If you wanted to. You sure can. Yeah.
Okay. All right. That's a whole new ballgame. I got to call up my son. We might be doing some.
Hey, you're Odin now.
Hey, get used to it.
Yeah.
But my name, I'm 27. It doesn't matter.
I'm calling you from now on. You better answer to it.
Change your business cards. I'm working on your birth certificate right now. We will be back with some more fun on the morning show here at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Seth and James hanging out with you. Well, tell me, did you think it'd be all right? That's enough of that. No, I'm just teasing. If you're a fan of the Gin Blossoms, I'm just teasing. But I did play them for a reason, because I do believe that the Gin Blossoms will be considered a one-hit wonder.
Yeah, depends on who you ask.
Yeah, absolutely. But yeah, that's fair. I don't know their complete library.
Right,
I don't remember, even though I was alive through it, I don't remember necessarily all of their songs or anything like that. But I would say that, you know, possibly a one-hit wonder. Today is National One-Hit Wonder Day. Mm-hmm. And it's a day to kind of celebrate the one-hit wonders out there. Mm-hmm. And while I think that this tends to get kind of made fun of and picked on, I have never understood that.
Okay.
Like, the idea that you had a hit song, like, go ahead, anybody out there right now, and try to come up with an original song. I'm not even asking you to come up with a hit.
Yep.
Just come up with something original. Good luck. You know? I mean, it seems like one of the most impossible creative jobs there is to create new music, let alone to make a career out of it, to make a whole album, an EP even. Seems amazing to me. The only thing that blows me away more are artists, people that can draw and paint and all that. But right next to it is musicians. I'm always blown away by musicians. Good, bad, whatever genre they have. I am always taken back by what they can do with originality, with these songs and everything. So to me, as a creative, as somebody who has grown up and worked every day of his life since he was 7 years old to get that big break, you get that one-hit wonder song, I don't care what happens the rest of your career, you've accomplished, you've done something,
You've done something very much. It's not only that you've created a song, you know, created some music, but it's a song that people really like and want to listen to, kind of thing. That's I'm with you, man. I think this is if you're a one-hit wonder, good on you for doing that. Yeah,
and it's a great day for us as fans to celebrate those songs, and especially maybe even bring back songs that you haven't listened to. And oh, I remember that song. Yep. It's a really good one.
Oh, love it.
Now, you're going to hear all kinds of morning shows and talk shows talking about this today, but we have a different angle on this one.
Yeah, no kidding. This is a different angle, I got
to
say.
That's our wheelhouse. Taking the different angle on things is our wheelhouse. It's kind of what we're doing.
That's the nice way of putting it, yes.
That's definitely it. The morning show, they're weird.
They're weird.
In a good way. In a good way.
In a good way.
So this is National One-Hit Wonder Day, and we're going to find out the One-Hit Wonder song that best fits your Zodiac sign.
Okay.
Now, I should admit, I don't know that much about zodiac signs. I know a little bit of vagueness. This sign is traditionally like this or whatever, but I don't know these too well. So I want the audience to feel free to jump in on this one.
Okay. All
right. If one of these signs fits you or something like that, please feel free to jump in. 715-424-2600. And we're also looking for your favorite one-hit wonders. Go ahead and share those with us as well. But we go to Aries first. Okay. Aries, the sign Aries. And they have Come On, Feel the Noise from Quiet Riot. Aries folks are about as subtle as a pinata full of ball gags and everything.
Yeah.
They really like to get into their music. They really like to let you know who
rock
they are
out.
And all this. Yeah, they rock out. Next is Taurus.
Taurus, okay.
Taurus comes
The bull, all right.
Taurus comes in next, and the song for them is In the Summertime by Mungo Jerry.
Take a rap or a meal. Just do what you feel.
Taurus live by the pleasure principle, and this song celebrates all manners of earthly, delights and everything.
It does?
Okay. I guess it does.
All right. Okay. I like the song. The commentary, I'm not so sure.
I'm not sure either.
This is kind of strange. So, keep it going.
But it's not as strange as the music video. If you are,
my God,
you were looking for the strangest music video you will ever see. Mungo Jerry's In the Summertime.
Although you will see the most fabulous sideburns you have ever seen in your life. The lead singer for Mungo Jerry had fabulous sideburns. Oh, my gosh.
I honestly could be the greatest sideburns
they could
you'll
be
ever see.
Of all
they
time.
Really could be. Yes. They really could be. Then we go to Gemini, where I will not be playing the song Informer from Snow. That's rough.
Oh, that's rough. Mean.
That's just mean.
What did Geminis ever do to you?
Geminis find their spirit mirrored in a fast spitting song that is, I guess. I don't know. There's a lot of better songs. There's
seriously.
I'm not in on this list.
Yeah,
so
get out of here with that.
This is not going well.
This is
so
not
far.
Going well, man.
The next one, I don't know if it gets any better for Cancer out there.
Okay.
Cake by the Ocean from DNCE.
Start living dangerously.
Okay. So this one is cancers tend to be emotional and a little bit more kind of forthgoing and all that. So that's what the song is talking about, embracing.
Okay.
And you know, a lot of pleasure. So having eating cake by the ocean, basically.
Gotcha. You know, if they wanted a one-hit cake song, they should have just done MacArthur Park. Someone left the cake out in the rain.
There you go.
That would be that's just as weird. It's cooler, I think.
I like that. I like where you're going with that. Yeah. Could have gone with just the band cake too.
Yeah, you could have just is way cooler than these guys.
Yeah, they're
way better.
Leo, we go to next. Well,
That's me. I'm Leo. Okay,
you're not gonna like this.
Oh boy. Oh, here we go.
Right, said Fred. I'm too sexy. They say that Leos tend to be pretty bold and don't necessarily modest.
They have me to a T?
That is not you. You are not much of a Leo, man.
I guess I'm a poor Leo. I'm just not very good at it.
I can relate to when it comes to not fitting your sign very yes. well. I feel like I do and I don't with mine.
Right.
This next one, I was not familiar with the song for Virgo, and it's Tones and I, Dance Monkey. I'm going to play a little bit of this one.
All right, let's find it.
Dance for me, dance for me, dance for me, oh, oh.
Ooh.
I never seen anybody do the things you do before.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm not familiar with this one.
I'm not familiar with it, and I don't think I'm going to look at it and do it any further than that. Yeah,
another weird music video, too.
Yeah, very weird.
Virgos are prone to be hyper-focused and have, kind of repetitive, a bit weird, oftentimes, different tendencies, different personalities and stuff. So that's where they're going with that one.
Well, if the video is any indication, definitely different, for sure, yeah.
They hit the mark on that
one. They did.
I definitely got that one right. next up is Libras.
Okay.
Smooth Criminal from Alien Ant Farm. That's the Michael Jackson version.
So now that is a pretty good. I like that version, actually. That's a decent song.
They say Libras are can be charming and forthcoming and smooth. So Smooth Criminal.
Yep.
Okay, all right. Scorpio.
That's kind of a cheat.
It does,
because the
like
song was a hit for Michael Jackson, who had many, many hits. Alien Ant Farm just covered it. So anyway,
that is a cheat. No, that is a cheat. That is a cheat.
Yeah.
Libra, Smooth Criminal. Scorpio, Blue Cantrell, Hit 'Em Up Style. Scorpio is often kind of be a little bit more about materialized things and some of that.
Materialistic,
they're saying,
maybe, yeah.
They're saying Scorpios can be that way.
Okay.
Don't really know about that one.
No.
Sagittarius, Tub Thumping from Chumbawamba, that I Get Knocked Down.
That is a fabulous song. That's a great, one of the best one-hit wonders of all time.
Yeah, it's got to be up there.
So I like that. Sagittarius, I'm jealous.
Sagittarius is a sign of internal optimism and pursuit of having a good time, and that song fits that pretty well.
Yes.
That's the one that's based on an old Irish drinking song and stuff,
I think so.
I think it's
Chumbawamba, by the way, famous for as an anarchist band, which I love the idea of that.
That is pretty funny.
I love it.
Yeah,
more anarchist bands. That's what we need. They're more fun.
Capricorn comes in with Alana Miles, Black Velvet.
Oh.
Growing up, every mom had this blasting.
Yep.
Every mom had this blasting.
Secretly.
Every one of them. My mother loved this song.
The kids go to school and then she turns it
yes,
on.
Yes. Yes. They blast this through the house. Yeah. Quote, sung by a Capricorn about a Capricorn as it's an ode to Elvis Presley. That was part of the reason for this. And apparently very fitting of a Capricorn.
There you go.
And then Aquarius comes in. We got two more.
Okay.
Aquarius comes in, and they come in with Eiffel 65's Blue.
Oh, my God.
Just when you thought you got away from it, everybody.
No. Actually, it's a good song. I like this song. But I have to say, one of my youngest is an Aquarius, and this is like, he loves this song.
Oh, okay.
So he's lucky. See, lucky him. He always gets the good stuff, man.
Aquarius flies the flag of the misunderstood, and listening to this song feels a little like that. Feels a little, yeah.
Boy, that's a reach. Anyway,
that's a real reach. I mean, this list they put together. I feel like I'm doing it mainly to make fun of them. I feel like in many ways, I feel like that's more of what's going on here. I don't know.
It doesn't seem like it was a lot of thought. It was just throwing stuff together. Anyway,
and then Pisces, my people, my fellow Pisces out there, my fellow fish,
my oldest, just like. Like you, yeah, he's a Pisces.
Afro man's because I got high. What? What are you doing to us here? That's not right. The Pisces is in the a sign of we're being in between being creatives and realists, kind of in a balance and an optimistic spirit, they say.
Okay. Well, we talked about optimism already today. Yeah, you know, so
I don't know about that one, but I know it was kind of fun to talk about some of these one-hit wonders.
Yeah, it killed 15 minutes.
There we go. Got that done. When we come back, we're going to have some more fun talking about what your next car might be. Could be kind of interesting. Okay. And a couple of other good ones for you. And we're going to wrap up our show with a Sal Silverstein poem I got for you.
Oh, awesome.
We'll wrap up with that. It's coming up on The Morning Show here at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show on WFHR.
I'm coming home, baby, now. I'm coming home now, right away.
Seth and James here with you. We hope you're having a good one out there. Thanks so much for joining us, everybody. The Velvet Fog playing us in. So we're going to take you right to the top of the hour, wrap up the show. We'd like to have some calls from you, 715-424-2600. Let's take a call. Good morning. You're on the air.
Hey, guys. Good morning.
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 You know, Seth, I have to agree with you that with our zodiac signs, we got kind of the shaft with the one-hit wonders.
Yeah.
Come on.
Really unhappy with that list. Yeah. Really unhappy with that segment. I'm going to be honest with everybody.
I felt like they just kind of threw it together. There wasn't any thought involved in this.
I'd much rather hear what you think the song best represents, whether it's a one-hit wonder or not. I'd rather hear that from the audience, like what you feel like what song best fits yours.
I know. I can tell you right now, right off the top of my head, in the year 2525, right now. That's it.
That's an interesting choice. All right.
Well, you know, with me, I would have to pay pretty much with my zodiac songs. You'll probably have to be some of the great hits in the 80s. Will probably have to be mine. And granted, that's pretty much who I grew up, but and when all the good music came out. But yeah, it was. I would have to say the 80s. You know, would have to probably be. I don't know. I mean, maybe do it as a generational type thing for the.
Yeah.
A song for your sign, you know?
Oh, yeah. I think that's.
Right. That would make more sense, right?
Yeah, I think that makes perfect sense. If you were born in the 70s, a song from the 70s, I think, I like
what
that.
We should do is what James and I were talking during the break here is we should combine the Greek zodiac, the old school one, with the Chinese zodiac, which is based on your year that you're born. Right. Combine those, and there you go. Then you'll find the song that works. See?
Oh.
We already put more thought into this than they did.
Yeah. way more. I'm looking at songs that came out in 1977, the year I was born. One of the first songs, Got to Give It Up from Marvin Gaye, our theme song. That's right.
We didn't know that, by the way. We did not know that.
Also, Margaritaville from Jimmy Buffett. So, I mean, interesting year, 77.
It was. It was very interesting.
I think that's a great way to do this, Kev. We got to come back to this topic when we got more time, man.
Yeah.
Right. But I'm going to give you an earworm, and you're probably going to hate me for saying this, but... You know, I'm probably going to say the group Lane. I mean, this is basically a one hit wonders theme. Is that, was it Elvis or Elvis or whatever? What does the fox say?
Oh God! No. Oh, there it is! There it is, right in my head. Now it's going to be there all day. Thank you for that, Cap. Always good to talk to you, man. Thanks for the time.
All right, guys. Have a great day.
You too. Safe travels out there. We'll talk to you later. Save that voice for Playmakers tonight. That was a good one. Right in my head now.
Man.
Will wallets even be a thing in 20 years? You know, wallets. Do you still have a wallet?
You bet I do. I still have a wallet. Yep.
Got one myself. But nowadays, I don't just have a wallet on my phone. I have this cool little thing where I keep my cards.
Yes. Yeah, that's a lot more people are using those. Yeah.
I love this thing. It's awesome. Mm-hmm. I don't mind having a wallet, but they can be bulky. They can get in the way. And especially if you just don't like wearing them or having them on you and stuff.
Exactly.
Well, a new poll found your next wallet might be your car.
Yeah,
Half of America.
How can I fit that in my pocket?
Yeah, that's going to be difficult. Half of Americans like the idea of their vehicle being a, quote, digital wallet. That means it's connected to the internet and you can pay for your stuff like just like your phone. 54% say if the car had that feature, they'd use it to pay for things like tolls, parking meters, and gas, maybe even food at the drive-thru. The poll was done by a company that's working on smart solutions in cars, so that is why where this comes from, and that's that exact. Is why you're going to see them encouraging this. I could not be more on the opposite end of this.
Oh, me too, man.
I mean, I don't care if the car's Knight Rider. Okay. I don't want it to have any more control than it already does.
Oh, my gosh. Man, to your point right now, you can't – it's getting to the point where you just can't take your car to your neighborhood mechanic.
Yeah.
Because they need 600 computer programs just to find out what's wrong with the car. They can only order parts from certain places now. Otherwise, they've got like locks on them that if you don't, you got to get it from us. Otherwise, blah, 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 blah. You know, this is the worst. And they're already, by the way, everyone, if you've bought a car within the last, I don't know, 4 or 5 years, guess what? They're tracking you.
Yeah.
They're taking all your information and they're selling it to people.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just about every car company is doing it.
Yeah, they've all got deals. They've got deals with multiple companies about your information and everything. And that is one of the deals with the whole smart cars and everything.
Your financial information, too? I'll pass on that one.
And shouldn't, like, when it comes to spending money, whether you got a lot or a little of it, don't you want there to be an extra step? I don't personally like the ease that I can pay for things all the time necessarily, because I think that for I'm not an impulse buyer, and even I do that from time to time.
Right.
And I'm the exact opposite of that. Mm-hmm. I can't imagine the person that, you know, look, we're all adults. You need to have some self-control, some self-responsibility. But I do think there's also something to be said for, hey, I struggle with this and I've got it right in front of my face.
And it makes it so much harder to not do it. The heart, you know, the thing that may be harmful. Like if you spend too much money and then you can't pay your other bills and that kind of thing, yeah, that can be a problem.
Look, you know what I want out of my next vehicle and vehicles going forward? Safer. Can you
How
make
about
them
that?
Safer? I don't need the car to drive for me. I don't need it to crab walk. I don't need to pay for my food. I just make it safer. Can you focus on that?
Can we make it so we don't run into each other? You know, that'd be great. Yeah. I'd love that.
How about what if every car came with one of those things where, you know, for people that get caught drunk driving and they have to blow into the thing? But how about that? How about that in every vehicle? How do you like that, everybody? Nobody wants that, do you?
No.
No, nobody's okay with that one.
No, exactly.
But that would make more sense than doing this.
Yeah.
Now, that's never going to happen. And I hope that this wallet thing never happens.
I really do.
I don't see the ease in
that. Think of
the
security. Oh, God. I can't even imagine. I mean, there's so many issues with this.
I don't know if other people do this or not, but with most things in life, my brain automatically does this ceiling and floor thing. Mm. What are the positives? What are the negatives? Do the positives outweigh the negatives?
Right.
They sure don't on this one. It's pretty easy to me.
To me, it seems like it really does seem that way.
Doesn't seem that going.
No.
Let's get a palate cleanser in and get to some good stories of the day. And a great one is going on right now. Join the United Way. Join us for the United Way Day at McDonald's. Their 52nd annual going on right now till 7 o'clock today. If you buy anything at McDonald's, a portion of those proceeds go into your community, go into the Southwood and Adams counties, thanks to the United Way.
Yep.
A shout out to all the hard workers over there. Give them some grace. Be cool to the people working over there. They're working extra
hard.
They're
going to be busy today.
And say hi to Terry and the gang for us over there at the 52nd annual United Way Day at McDonald's going on until 7 o'clock tonight. Go get some Mickey D's, everybody.
Yum.
And of course, we encourage you to keep on listening because at 11 o'clock in just a little bit, Jane and Greg will have for you, along with at 1 and 4 o'clock today, we'll have our Go for the Green or Gold Text to Win contest going on. We're going to give you a keyword, text it to us. You can win some green or gold.
Green or gold. Cash. Gold. Yeah. Chance to win some really cool tickets.
Straight cash, homie. You can win. You can win. And you can win a pair of indoor tickets to see the Green and Gold in Green Bay Monday, December 23rd, taking on New Orleans.
That's right.
That's going to be a good one. Be listening for that, everybody.
So close to Christmas. There's a Christmas present for you, right?
Yeah. We got some great stuff lined up for you throughout the day today. Join us a little bit later for Playmakers from 5 to 6. Our live sports talk show brought to us by Quality Plus Printing. We're able to get your sports thoughts and takes, and we'll lead you into the Luke Fickell Show at 7:05 today.
That's right. Talk about what's up for on the West Coast. Yes, the Big Ten game In California.
Yeah.
Still getting used to that.
Yeah. It's going to take some. And by the time we get used to it, they'll have moved.
They'll be in different conferences
and everything. And it is Wednesday, Seth. We know what that means around here.
Why, yes, we do, James. It's time for some bingo.
Bingo. At
the Wisconsin Rapids Elks Lodge number 693, 430 West Jackson Street. Go early, everyone, because the doors open at 5 o'clock. Get your parking spot. Go in there. Get ready to go. Bingo starts at 6:30. They had their big super bingo on Saturday. And I hope everything went well there. But this is the normal, regular one. It's still a lot of fun, though. You got to put that out there. It's going to be fun.
To support those that support this community. Mm-hmm. And that is the Wisconsin Rapids Elks Lodge. Get on over there, everybody, and help them have some fun tonight.
Yep.
And Seth, we have one other thing I wanted to touch on.
Oh, the community book sale is almost here, ladies and gentlemen. October 10th, 11th, and 12th is right around the corner. On the 10th and 11th, they're going to be open 8:30 to 6. The bag sale is on Saturday the 12th from 8:30 to 1, $2 a bag. 100% of the profits go to Mid-State Technical College Scholarships. It's at the Moravian Church, 310 First Avenue South. We have newly painted lines on our parking lot. It looks gorgeous. Check that out. If nothing else, come and check out our parking lot. It
looks really good over there. And get some books over there, everybody. Mm-hmm. Let's take a quick call. We only got a minute left. Good morning. You're on the show.
I want to know if she spends at the Money Monster Depot. They play the song Whip It.
Oh, okay. Whip it.
Okay.
Yeah. We'll see about that.
Oh, like Devo. Yeah.
It's a good one.
Whip it.
Choice. Yeah. Thank you for that.
That's a good call. Thank you.
Good one-hit wonder. Mm-hmm. That's a great one-hit wonder. And we want those one-hit wonders. We'll take them all week long. Tell us your favorite one-hit wonders, everybody. And thank you so much for that.
We'll figure out a better Zodiac system than they had in this lame article. So.
Absolutely. Yeah. I thought that this one was a good story of the day. A police officer named Nicole Marin stopped an out of control truck by climbing in through the window of her patrol car. It was not only going around 5 miles per hour, so her partner drove alongside it. It turned out a 60-year-old driver was having a medical issue.
Oh, no.
Luckily, nobody was hurt, but she did a full, like, Fast and the Furious
kind of, like... Oh, my God. So you say that's like from a movie. I know it's only 5 miles, but still, that's amazing.
Still, man, that is amazing. Yeah, like, oh, well done by that officer.
Good for
Nicely
you.
Nicely done. We got a great Midday Magazine lined up for you today. Join us a little bit later at 4 o'clock. Jason Grudenberg going to join us from the Wood County Planning and Zoning Department. And in part two, we'll talk with our friends from the ODC.
Cool.
Great show today, Seth.
Yeah, you too, man.
Have a good one out there, everybody.